We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can suspend him and say that he can't be around the organization for a year. I think you start there until the best pendant.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
An investigation, and if it comes out that it's worse than what even is imagined or reported, then you have to have some strong consideration, you know, about him not being the owner of that team anymore. But it starts with the draft picks. That's the way you hurt the team. They lost draft picks for Deflategate.
Spygate.
I mean, you look, you know, they mishandled the Aaron Hernandez situation. And we always say that they're the class of the NFL. You know, if you add those four things into it, it's not showing a lot of class. And I told you guys he was acting reckless the last couple weeks ago. I told you.
And you think it's all just going to go away. That's Bart Scott originally.
I bet if you call Bart Scott right now.
I don't think he heard the news.
You know what Bart Scott would say?
Bart Scott would say, New York City. They got the headlines.
No. Bart Scott would sit there and say, yeah, I heard he got off with the Patriot Act, and I know what the Patriot Act is. Any patriot can commit any crime they want, and they're let
this
Scott
is just
free.
Another
they'll let it go, bro.
Patriot Act.
We should try this. I wonder if we can do like a telemarketing, like, you know, answer question and answer with the people, the great people of the United States. We'll start in New Mexico. Just start calling random homes.
I'm good. I'm trying to go local here. We're trying to get the local phone calls. We don't need
Idaho.
They have one of those meters out there in Idaho?
Nah.
Don't do us any good then.
So here's the thing with Bart Scott.
You got it.
So, see, initially that was what you thought. Even in the beginning, that was like crazy. Like that wasn't going to happen, right? Because even if there was human trafficking, how the hell would he even know about it? So you're gonna sit there and take the team away for something that he knew nothing about?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to hear about, you know, waiting till all the facts come out.
Forget about the facts and forget about the truth, really.
Radio show to do.
Yeah, we want ratings.
But I don't know why you think it's any different right now. So let's say Michael McCann came on with Dale and Cave and basically said the commissioner should just throw a fine in his direction. Matter of fact, he even made a suggestion that you do what the NBA did with Mark Cuban and you have him give like a $10 million donation, I don't know, human trafficking or whatever, because at least it's going for a good cause and it's doing some good in the long run, as opposed to, what, nailing him with a $500,000 fine that goes to the coffers of the NFL. But he doesn't think he's going to get suspended. I think the commissioner has to suspend him.
He does.
Or there's going to be this huge, the large following out there, especially the players who are going to sit there and say, what are you talking about? Look what he did. They're not going to know
I think there was a violation of his rights. I think the players, if he tries to stay consistent and which is difficult for the commissioner of the NFL, then he has to, regardless of whether the charges are dropped, dismissed, whatever, he still has to
stop
suspend
giving me that perfect world crap. Okay,
no, this is what I'm
he's going to wet the finger.
No,
he's
asking for trouble.
He's going to say which way is
he's
the wind blowing.
Yeah, to me, it's so. I don't know if you guys heard T.J. Quinn on this morning talking with the
ESPN.
Boys.
ESPN. Yeah.
One thing that I think Reamer asked a question because he brought it up that this is what he said. This is
Kraft
Reamer's
could
question.
Sue the state of Florida.
Potentially, yeah, and you've already got several lawsuits. I don't want to say exactly I don't know what the exact legal grounds they would pick are, but essentially it would be an invasion of privacy that they had no right to do this, that they violated his rights.
See, I would say this, and I know you talked about invasion of privacy, right? That's an awful look. If Robert Kraft, this thing gets dismissed, he should run and hide.
12 of them are already doing it.
He should run and hide. He's going to get off. Everybody knows that he was guilty of this. It was a procedural issue. And now he's going to turn around and sue the state? He should run and hide if it gets dismissed. That's a bad look. He turns around and sues the state? That's a bad
look.
Well,
hold on, Lou.
Sorry.
But what are we doing? What are we doing, though? And I get what you're saying. So
you got caught because, in a crime.
No, because he's
you're
a celebrity.
Wrong.
Because he's a celebrity, and he has the means to go and hire the most expensive lawyers. It is a bad look. I agree with you 100%. Yet there are 12 other people. Nobody has any idea who their names are that are suing for that specific reason that it was a violation of privacy. So it's like if the government has the right to do this in anywhere, what's to say now that they assume that, you know what, I've seen Lou Maloney and he sits there and he drinks Crowns. I've seen him over at Fenway Park down at the bar before.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what we're going to do?
Yeah.
We're going to catch him for DUI. Now, how do they catch you for DUI? You're erratically driving in the highway and they say something's wrong. I'm going to pull that guy over. But no. What they decide is they're going to put cameras in your car so they can catch you drinking in the car. It's an evasion of privacy. You can sit there and say you committed a crime because you were drinking while driving, but they can't do that to you.
What if they just follow me because they know I'm drunk?
I just said that. That's legal.
Forget about the camera.
Probable cause. There's probable cause you can't stay within the lane.
Am I drunk?
But
did I commit a crime?
Lou, there's a huge difference.
Did I commit a crime?
There's a huge difference between having probable crime and setting somebody up. You can't sit there.
Was Robert set up? Hey, why don't you go to this spa and get this done? Did the cop tell him to do that, or did he just walk in because he heard about it?
He got set up.
How did he get set up?
They put cameras inside the spa.
He didn't get set up, Glenn. He got caught. He didn't get set up.
It's ridiculous.
Up. They didn't tell him, hey, Robert,
so you
come
don't
on in here.
You don't believe in privacy laws.
A cop didn't walk
no,
up.
You don't believe in it.
It's different. There you go, Robert.
It is different. No,
it
he's talking different. About being set up. Being set up is being, all right, let's entrap this guy. Let's hook him up. Let's get some undercover detective.
That's what they
and
were
let's
doing.
Sit there, no, and say, hey, you want to get some drinks? Hey, I know this really
it's
cool.
It's a misdemeanor,
guys. I know this really
guys.
Cool spot where they give you a massage and you can get whatever you want afterwards. Come on,
it's a misdemeanor.
It's fine.
The way they got the cameras in there is true.
That's
true. What they wanted to do is
not
crack human trafficking.
It's different than what he's talking about. He was not set up.
No,
they didn't set up. If you're talking about, okay, did they?
If an undercover cop went to him and said, hey, let's go to this parlor. I heard that you can get a little rub and tug. Let's go. And a cop brought him in and said, check it out. That is setting him up.
Well, you guys haven't read.
He went in there.
Well, read
on
what
his
the
own.
Judge. Read
well,
what the
I know,
judge
but
said.
You're not.
Because the
not,
judge is basically saying that they set these people up.
No,
that's
they
what
didn't
he's
set them
no,
up.
No,
you have to entice them to
no,
go there.
That's not what he's
then
saying.
Nobody sit there
read it.
Say, no,
it's exactly
okay.
what he's saying.
Okay, so I don't care. They're wrong. They did
the
not entice them.
The judge is wrong now.
No,
Kraft
the warrant.
Went in there. Kraft went in there. Yeah, he's wrong.
It's, the judge
well,
is
either
wrong.
Your explanation of it
you're
is wrong.
Well, it's your
wrong.
Idea of what it's your idea of what setup.
How
is
okay? So no,
well,
okay.
It's,
so
no,
if,
like
if I'm telling
idea.
You, I set up. Hey, I did. Hey, I set up Blue. I totally going to get him. I'm going to get him arrested. I set him up. I had my buddy befriend him and convince Lou that this guy was trustworthy. And then my friend, who I set Lou up with, convinces him that he should go into this place.
Let
and
me read
then
it.
He gets caught.
Let me read it. Judge Hanser stressed that Kraft has the strongest claim for privacy while he is at his home. Kraft also has a compelling expectation for privacy while a customer of a private massage establishment. Seeking even legitimate services in a spa, the judge writes, normally involves removing all or most of a person's clothing. Behavior almost as private as would occur in a home. And then he goes on to chastise law enforcement for failing to minimize the impact of the search. That even with Kraft, they did not have probable cause. They started putting the cameras on him, videotaping him without probable cause. If you're driving erratically in a car, I have probable cause. You can't drive straight within the lane. I can stop you.
How do you find setup?
Setup is putting cameras in there before a person actually commits a crime.
Okay, it's semantics.
No, because if you go,
it's not semantics.
Glenn, it's
the whole case, guys.
But Glenn, if you commit a crime on your own free will, you're not set
up.
Nobody
set him up to go in there,
guys. You have a right to privacy. If you rob a bank, Lou, you're doing it with cameras out there, and you are robbing a bank outside of a private establishment. You're walking into a public building.
I'm not set up. Unless a cop brings me in and says, "Hey, let's rob this bank together," I know how to get it done.
A bank is not being set up.
Your definition of set up is security. I don't know what the hell it is.
But this is what the case was all about.
No, actually, it's
not. You don't think this is the case?
No, it's illegally putting cameras in, the warrant, the way they put cameras in, what they were looking for, what they did with the video.
No, it's the Fourth Amendment. It's privacy.
I know, but that's not setting him up, Glenn. He went in there on his own.
I just explained it to you when I gave you the DUI. I think it was the perfect explanation to show you the difference. If I had suddenly thought that you were a drinker, and I was fearful that you were going on the highway, even though you've never driven erratically before, and I suddenly got a warrant to go put cameras inside your car to see if you were drinking, that would be setting you up.
Well, we disagree.
Okay. All right, we get to the phone calls. We'll take your phone calls coming up next at 617-779-7937.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
If Kraft has essentially acknowledged that he hired a prostitute, what does that mean in the grand scheme of damage to the league brand? Certainly, many have written that prostitution is demeaning of women, particularly women of color, and that's a concern for Goodell as he weighs what an appropriate punishment would be. He has broadcasters, he has sponsors that may weigh in and tell him that this is bad for the league image, that an owner was involved in something like this. On the other hand, look, if the case is dismissed, there's no crime.
Yeah, I disagree with Michael McCann on that, and that's not legal expertise because there's no legal involved in this. This is a commissioner who's going to look at the defense of the shield. He's going to look at the embarrassment that the league has received in the last few months, and the fact that two things. One, Kraft did admit with the apology, and two, his attorneys came out and said that the video can't go out there because it's pornography. So you're admitting that something happened there. So in doing so, the commissioner has got to throw 6-8 games, big fine at him, just to appease Players Association and everybody else.
Yeah, see to me, so he goes into it a little bit more with examples. He uses Richardson, uses Irsay, and you listen to it, and you tell me if you agree with him.
What else has he done to owners? Well, you have Jim Irsay, who pleaded out to driving while intoxicated, which you could say is a much more serious thing, right? You drive while intoxicated, you could kill someone, you could maim someone, you could do those things to yourself. I think morally, many would say that that's worse than paying another person for sexual services. And then there was Jerry Richardson on the Panthers. Richardson was accused of mistreating women who worked for him, harassing them, inappropriately touching them. You could argue that that's also worse morally than what Kraft is accused of doing. And in those instances, there were certain punishments. And I think you have to say, that's probably the outermost punishment that Kraft would get. Irsay was suspended 6 games. I would be surprised if Kraft is punished anyway more than a fine. I also question what's the point of suspending an owner. They don't play. They're not coaching.
That's fine. It's the Patriots.
That part is a good point because it does nothing. We've already discussed that.
That doesn't matter.
It's symbolic.
It doesn't matter because it says in the collective bargaining agreement that they're held to a higher standard. Blah blah blah. So there's something is going to happen.
Blah blah.
Okay,
blah.
Because we've read it a million times. Irsay is a terrible example. And as far as
Ursa is not a bad example.
Well, hold on, sorry. Saying that some people look at that as worse. Okay, so they say, oh, some people look at Ursa as, oh, that's worse than what
Kraft
did. Some people will look at Jerry Richardson, oh, that's worse.
That's worse.
Okay, my thing is that to me doesn't matter. The fact is, you need to weigh the embarrassment factor. That's the most important thing. That's the scale you need to use.
You would agree that both of them are worse, right, than Kraft, but the embarrassment factor is the only thing that counts.
Why would you even include Jerry Richardson talking about
sexual?
He lost the team.
Yeah, and they compared.
Right. Missed six Forced games. This guy lost the team, and it's like.
I would say there's a comp? If you ask somebody who worked in that field, okay, the prostitution field. They would probably say, well, so what if somebody's drinking drunk? Look at my emotion. Look how damaged I am by the work that I had to do. So depending on what side of the fence you're on, you're going to think that what you're going through is worse.
Well, Richardson
was sexually agree with that either.
Well, Richardson was not only sexual harassment, but there was a history of it within the organization beyond Richardson. The case with Kraft is, and we believe to this point, it was consensual. Now, it was also probably a business arrangement, but it was consensual. They were unable to prove that this was somebody who was lured out of their country and forced to work in Jupiter, Florida.
There is absolutely no way Roger Goodell can just fine Robert Kraft.
No, I agree.
There is no chance.
It's not going to happen.
The players will go ballistic.
Well, just the players. Yeah. I mean, just the owner of the Patriots. Just because he got off and he's wealthy and he's rich. The bottom line is he's guilty. We all know it. And you just let him off. You got players in this league that have been found innocent. Zeke, right? Ezekiel Elliott. They sent their own investigator out to investigate what the hell happened, the domestic violence, and she found nothing. She didn't believe the witness, and they said, okay, fine, we'll suspend you six games.
Yeah,
knock it down to four. What?
So if you're going to sit there and if you're going to look at the collective bargaining agreement, first you start with the players. What do players get who are charged with something and are not found guilty, cases have been dropped, and they still get punishment? So if that's what you're doing to a player who wasn't found guilty of anything, and you give him six games, and you're already admitting, and it's in your the collective bargaining agreement, that you treat owners differently. So regardless of what happens in this case, you start with six. You start with six because you just gave Zeke Elliott six games and he didn't do anything wrong.
The one thing McCann brought up that might happen is maybe they try to get a huge fine out of him. I don't think, unlike players, I don't think there are any ceilings, any limits on how much an owner can be fined. All right, to the phone calls, and they're loaded, so let's go to them. Eric's in Vermont. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Lou, just want to call in and support you on your argument of, and I think what everybody's overlooking is the overreach by the police on this one. And the example that I would use that I think you guys were struggling to reach would be the same thing to put cameras in a dressing room at a department store. And it's not to catch shoplifters. It's the same category of a crime. However, it's significant overreach, and the innocent people that are caught unrobing during the process, even though the intent was to try to catch someone with a crime, I think we can all agree that it's overreach, and you wouldn't want that for your daughter or anybody else.
Yeah, but it's much different, right, Eric. It's much different. We talked about this a while back. It's much different than in a department store. There are signs everywhere that basically say they have security cameras on you. Okay?
Absolutely. Not in the dressing room.
Not behind that curtain, but everywhere else. But nobody knew that the cameras were there at this Dace Bar, including the owners.
Well, absolutely. But I'm saying strictly for throwing out the tape and supporting that it was significant overreach. You know, there's areas where privacy is expected, and this is just simply that.
And the other thing is they didn't need it. There was no reason for them to do it. They had already had a cop go in there, solicit sex. He had it, and so he was a witness. That's all they had to do is they said, yeah, I had sex in there. Bob is in a car. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Glenn, I just want to tell you, you're totally wrong on this. Louis and Christian are 100% correct. Setting the tapes up, putting the tapes in the spa was wrong. It was illegally obtaining information. It is no way in heck setting this person up. Like Lou tried to explain to you, he went in there on his own free will, and what he did was illegal. They illegally obtained the information to arrest him.
Why did the judge say that his privacy was was taken away from him.
They did break his privacy, but they did not set him up to break his privacy. They broke his privacy by illegally videotaping and obtaining evidence, not by setting him up.
That's what I'm saying. I think you guys, hold on. We're having problems with the word setup.
Yes.
Okay. I gave you the best description of it. The best description would be that Lou is driving, and they suddenly think that Lou is an alcoholic, and they know he gets behind the wheel of a car. And instead of waiting until there's literally probable cause where Lou is weaving up and down Route 3,
I'm drunk!
What they do is they put cameras in his car so that they can catch him doing it. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't take away the privacy of an individual. That's what this case is all about.
But I agree with the call. I'm not saying they didn't violate his privacy. They violated the privacy of everybody. That's what the judge ruled. Okay? Violating their privacy. But he was not set up. He was not pushed to commit a crime. He did it on his own free will.
I think I said this earlier.
Okay, we're getting caught up in the words.
Because you were so caught up on it.
So was the setup with the car outside when they got him two blocks down the street? Was that a setup? Which is also illegal, according to the judge. Was that a setup?
Well, it's illegal because everything that had to do with the warrant fell under the umbrella.
Right.
Well, yeah, they just stopped him. It was probably an illegal stop.
Okay, so I agree with you. We're getting caught up in the word setup. I look at it differently. To me, what you're doing is you're taking away somebody's privacy.
I'm just saying, like, is a roadblock?
is that a setup?
Is that a setup?
No, that's legal. You can do that. They go into court to get...
We're going to get caught in the weeds with this. It is a setup because you're setting up drunk drivers.
Because you think they
don't know where it is. They don't know where the stop is, and they get sucked into it.
But they're legal.
Exactly.
They're legal. Tim's in Ashland. Hey, Tim.
That's a terrible gavel sound.
Hey, I like your DUI analogy, but you're just missing one crucial step. Instead of saying Lou is drunk behind the wheel, what the cops did in this case was they tried to say Lou was an illegal bootlegger, and they were trying to get him on federal tax evasion charges.
I like that.
Even better.
That's better.
They caught me bleep-faced.
Yeah, that's more realistic, too.
It doesn't make you any less wrong for drinking and driving. You're still wrong for drinking and driving. It's just wrong for the cops to have put the camera in there in the first place.
Sure.
So I still think Kraft should be suspended, just like Ben Roethlisberger was. Ben Roethlisberger was never found guilty of anything, but Kraft is still wrong. But so are the police in this case.
Yeah, but Tim, they actually went into court to a judge to get the warrant to sneak and peek and put those cameras in.
Right, but under false premises, like Boo was never a bootlegger. It doesn't make the fact that we're drinking and driving.
Yeah, but the interesting part about it is the judge really, in giving his ruling, doesn't break it down that they were going in for human trafficking and human trafficking didn't exist. That wasn't part of his decision. His decision was clearly based on you didn't have probable cause. So you had people coming in there
and you were
taking video of every single person that came in there, including people who were just getting a massage.
It really came down to that wording when we heard monitor and record. And it was really just to monitor. So what they're saying is you see a woman come in, okay, you don't record it and you stop monitoring because the woman's not going in there for that. You can't watch her undress. You know, or if a guy, you can just monitor. If a guy's getting a regular massage, you can't record that.
Yeah, but he didn't even do that.
No, but I'm just saying, it seems like, you know, what they did was they took it too far.
No, but the judge had problems.
They violated the warrant.
But it wasn't. I thought the monitor and record, and that's where, you're right, Kraft's attorneys were going in there fighting that, saying they only got the right to monitor, not to monitor and record.
So you think he should sue the state of Florida if he can?
No, because I agree with you. I think the no-name people should sue, because they got nothing to lose.
That's the point.
Right, nothing to lose. He shouldn't, because he's a celebrity.
It's in the public eye right now with Robert Kraft. It's not for these guys down there. So if they want to do their thing, fine. You do it privately. But this would be another public statement by Robert Kraft to not only did I get off on a charge that I know I was guilty of, that I know I committed a crime, but now I'm going to sue. And I'm going to make it in the news even more.
But that's him taking a victory lap.
That's a dumb thing.
Yeah, and like dragging a victory lap because he got lucky they screwed up the whole warrant.
So let's not rub it in their face.
But that's probably not a smart PR move. But getting back to the monitor and record, I don't think that played into the decision, even though Kraft's lawyers were fighting for that because the judge chastised them for actually sitting there and monitoring with a cop two blocks away when women were coming in getting massages and there was no sex. And they were sitting there just Googling it. Guys going, oh, my God, look at what's going on right there.
Ooh,
they
la,
were
la.
Watch, yeah, as they were watching women, basically, as they two callers ago said, behind the curtain, trying on clothes at the department store. Very sexy. That's what they were doing. So, I mean, he had a much different ruling than I expected. All right, 617.
Well, hold on. Before we go, we thank you.
That's your honor.
That's a better gavel. So our Milton Suite sale.
We're doing that coming up.
We're going to do that next.
You're going to give a code word.
You are actually going to give the code word.
I'm
this
giving
time.
The code
yes,
word today.
I did it yesterday. Right. Lou did it.
You were
it
good
your
with
turn.
The code word.
I was
way.
Excellent.
Take turns.
Excellent. There's a lot of anticipation.
Lou was okay, but you were really
good. I was
good.
Listen, that was good.
We'll give the code word away, and for anybody that is thinking about getting married or you are getting married, this is an unbelievable deal. I was going to give you some advice, but I'll pass.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to more of Ordway, Merloni, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, do I think Kyrie's leaving? I have no idea, because there are a lot of variables that we still don't know about yet. What happens on draft lottery night? Do the Knicks get the number one pick? Does something else happen that shakes up the landscape? What happens with Anthony Davis? That's the big question mark. We talk about this on the show all the time. Where's Anthony Davis going to go? The one way the Celtics are going to try to convince Kyrie Irving to stay, I'm sure, is to tell him that if you stay, we're going to go all out to get Anthony Davis.
Chris Mannix from SI, and there's a lot on the table here, not only tonight, but over the next month and a half. And Chris joins us live right now. He's in Chicago for the draft lottery. What's up, Chris?
What's happening, guys?
Yeah, not too much.
So have you heard any...
Lucky charm.
Before we get to any of this lottery stuff, have you heard any of Terry Rozier today on ESPN? And why is this guy still his agent?
I have heard it, and... I don't know what he gains out of doing and saying all this. I mean, he pulls the curtain back on a lot of stuff people were kind of aware of, but didn't really know the specifics of, and effectively confirms that this was a group of guys that didn't like playing with each other all that much and weren't happy with their roles. But to me, when I first saw and started reading some of the comments, it completes kind of a pretty firm fall from grace for Terry Rozier, because if you go back to this time last year, I thought Terry Rozier handled his exit meeting as well as anybody. He said, Kyrie Irving's the point guard. I'm his backup. I'm going to push him every day at practice. Since that moment, it's been just bad for Terry Rozier in terms of what he said and how he's played. And I'll tell you this much. I mean, he's been a topic of conversation amongst a lot of executives that are out there on teams looking for a point guard. I've talked to a lot of them over the last year. And, you know, like, his play cost him some money, obviously, in this season. And doing this and kind of acting like this and saying some of this stuff, I think it has a chance to cost him even more money as he goes into free agency.
Yeah, Chris, doesn't it really kind of, just sort of shrink the pool of teams? We're talking about, like, if you're a bad team needing a point guard, fine, you could find a home for him. But if you were a good team that said, you know, we got a good point guard, but Rozier makes us deeper, makes us better, a sixth man off the bench, you have to, these comments, you sit there and say, I don't think that would work either, because he's going to have an issue with my starter and he doesn't play. So he's basically going to a bad team right now.
Yeah, and look, you know, the teams that were interested in him that I know about was Orlando was interested, you know, Phoenix, which may get a point guard in the draft. They wind up at number two. They have an interest, and they tried to trade for him in the past. But the problem Terry Rozier is going to run into is that he's a restricted free agent. And, you know, Boston's going to put it out there, just like they did with Marcus Smart, that they'll match, you know, any offer up to, you know, X million dollars. So it's almost pointless. Unless you want to overpay for Terry Rozier, you're probably not going to get him. Because, remember, I mean, Glenn, you know this, like, Danny Ainge played the 1980s. Like, Danny Ainge does not care about a little bit of infighting. Like, I don't think he believes Terry Rozier is part of his team long term, but I think he knows that Terry Rozier is an asset, right, that if he gets on a reasonable contract, he'll be able to trade him at some point next season. So Terry might not want to be in Boston, but I still think there's a good chance he is in Boston at the start of training camp.
So you asked the questions that we were talking about earlier. Okay, why would Terry Rozier do this? What does he have to gain? I mean, isn't this kind of like just scorched earth? I mean, isn't he just kind of like burning the bridge and just saying, screw it, this is my one way to make sure they don't keep me here and I force my way out?
That's the only kind of read on it. I haven't called anybody in this camp at this point, but that's the only thing you can kind of interpret it as being, and then saying, you know what, we're fed up with him. But again, Danny doesn't care. Like, he just, you know, if he sees you as an asset, he's not going to let you walk away. And Marcus Smart had a hell of a time last offseason finding anybody to offer him anything. That's why this stretched out all the way into August of last year, because they couldn't reach a deal. I wonder if the same type of thing happens to Terry Rozier, because if he had been in free agency, last summer, there would not have been a team that would have hesitated. It would have been a handful of teams to give him $18 to $20 million per year, whatever the max number was for him going into that summer. Now, the teams I talk to are $8, $10 million, because that's kind of mid-level exception money in today's NBA. I don't know that Boston lets him go at that kind of money, even with all this.
All right, Chris, so talking about Danny Ainge, my guess is that Danny will let all of the emotions subside over the next couple of weeks. He can use his own health issue as a reason that he can't do anything right now. And then 4 or 5 weeks down the road, he'll call Kyrie in. And he'll say, okay, I've got some ideas of what we want to do next year, and this is what we want to do. And do you want to be part of it? We're going to give you the type of team you want next year. Yet, I'm hearing Stephen A. and others say it's a done deal. He's already in New York. What do you say?
I don't know that anything that ever involves Kyrie Irving is a done deal, because he has one of the smallest inner circles of anyone I've ever covered. Like, his inner circle is basically his father. Like, that's who really knows what's going on with Kyrie Irving. And all throughout the last 2 years, one thing the Celtics have done right, which is what Toronto has done right with Kawhi, it's what Oklahoma City did right with Paul George. Different situations, but they treated Kyrie Irving like a franchise player, and they involved him, not necessarily day-to-day of what they're going to do, but they made sure he was aware of kind of what their process was going to look like and what they want the team to look like. And, as you guys just played that clip, I mean, the Anthony Davis stuff is still a monster variable in all this. I mean, we're going to learn a lot more about the future of everyone after tonight. I mean, yeah. If you're a Celtics fan, the worst case scenario is Knicks get number one.
Yeah.
Because if the Knicks get number one, it either presents them with the opportunity to keep a former Duke player like Kyrie Irving and Zion Williamson, who everybody pegs as the next superstar, or take him and flip him for Anthony Davis. So I think that's the first domino to watch when it comes to Kyrie Irving, how the draft order works itself out tonight.
All right, so you mentioned that Danny Ainge, and I think we all agree with you, is okay with the infighting. He's going to look at these guys as assets, nothing more. He's not going to be influenced by their behavior or their attitude. But what about Brad Stevens? Brad Stevens, okay, there's an opening in Michigan. Okay, maybe that college game and the personnel and the roster, that younger roster is a little bit more, nice for him. Do you think there's an opportunity for him to leave based on what happened this last year?
No chance. Not for college. I mean, I'll put it this way. Name me one successful NBA coach period, who has come from college that has voluntarily gone back to college. I've gone down this list. I can't think of one like that goes back when they have options. When you're an NBA coach, not only do you like the money and the ability to just be a coach, but you like the lifestyle. Yeah, you like the lifestyle. You're just a coach. And I don't know that, I do know that 1 year of frustration is not going to send Brad Stevens running to Michigan or even Duke if that ever opened up. He is firmly entrenched as an NBA head coach. And look, this is a learning experience for him, and he kind of alluded to this at the end of the year. We've talked about this. At some point, to be successful, you've got to coach jerks. Like, you've got to coach a team that isn't necessarily the scrappy underdogs that we've seen for the last 3 years with this Celtics group. You've got to coach a team that's, a bunch of alphas and high egos and figure out how to do it. So, I think for Brad Stevens, everything that happened this season, he should be able to take and use the learning experience moving forward.
All right, let me go back to Kyrie Irving. So you convinced Kyrie that you're going to get Anthony Davis. I'm convinced Danny would take him with just 1 year remaining and probably treat him exactly the way you were talking about. This is a much different organization than New Orleans, and they can make him feel great. And then you've got your team going forward with those two guys. If that doesn't work and Kyrie decides on leaving, does Danny go out and try to get Anthony Davis without Kyrie? What are his other options?
No, I don't. And it's more speculation on this point. But the people I've talked to about this possible scenario have strongly suggested that if that was the case, that they would probably make an offer for Anthony Davis, but wouldn't go anywhere near. Like, Jason Tatum wouldn't be touchable in that situation. Like, you just can't roll the dice on a player like Davis, who has no real ties to Boston, and you can't hope that he decides that he wants to be there after 1 year. Kyrie Irving is kind of the hook for Anthony Davis. It's Kyrie Irving and Davis's relationship with Kyrie and the likelihood that that team is either the best or among the best teams in the NBA in all of next season. If Kyrie decides to walk, I think the Celtics' offers for Davis are significantly less, if, you know, frankly, if anything at all.
And, you know, that's the one thing. Actually, we're talking to Chris Mannix here of SI.com. There are Celtics fans that believe Kyrie should walk and they shouldn't trade for Anthony Davis and just stick with the core that they have. And we're trying to tell them that's probably the worst-case scenario, isn't it? You're just that middle-of-the-road team?
Yeah, that's dumb. Like, you're
thank you.
Look, I mean, stars win championships. They do. Like, you have to have great role players around them. You need the Robert Ories of the world and sixth and seventh men to contribute, make big shots, the John Paxsons in key moments. But stars get you there. Kawhi Leonard is in the process of propelling Toronto. Giannis just overpowered Boston last series. The Warriors win with their stars. You need stars to win championships. And nobody knows that better than Danny Ainge, who was on championship teams with big-time stars. So, no, you do not let Kyrie Irving walk. On day one of free agency, you offer the full five-year max, and you make it clear to him. And look, the five-year max is a risk, and the guy said multiple knee surgeries. I give you that. But you make it clear to him as well that if it's not 5 years, you want to do three, you want to do four, you want to mix things up with opt-outs, you do that. You do everything you have to keep Kyrie Irving in
the mix. What if it's one? I'm sorry. What if it's one? You know, and now you got Anthony Davis and Kyrie on one, and neither one of these guys like talking about their future. They both be free agents. That could be a nightmare, too.
I don't think about that too much, Lou, because, you know, with Kyrie, one thing I've gotten the sense of, and I've written this a couple of times in the past, that and look, I think people got a clear idea of this when he started talking about last season. The knee stuff really sits with him. And having to go through, you know, weeks of antibiotics and the pain and dealing with multiple knee surgeries, I mean, he's had a fragile knee situation over the last, you know, handful of years. And look, a lot of guys I've talked to in this league, they look at John Wall and what John Wall's gone through. John Wall, where would John Wall be if he didn't take the bird in the hand? If he didn't take that four-year, $172 million offer from Washington when it was on the table? And for a guy like Kyrie, who's gone through what he's gone through, who's this contract's going to take him, I think, a little bit past 30, I think he goes for a longer-term deal. It may not be five, but I'd be surprised if he looks for one.
Yeah, isn't that scenario with the Celtics? Isn't that the best-case scenario as far as years and money, the best case with the Celtics?
Yeah, they can offer the extra year, which I think amounts to $40 to $45 million. Depends on how the numbers shake out with the cap, but it's significant.
Yeah, okay, and that was because that was my next question was, okay, because I agree with you, we've been talking about it, because I don't think he's a dumb guy. I mean, he may say some stupid things, and he's a little inconsistent with some of the messages that he's sending out there from his post-game or whatever. But most of his decisions, career decisions, have been pretty good. So what would lead you to believe that this one would be any different? If the smartest financial decision would be to play for the Celtics?
I mean, look, he can go get 4 years from the Knicks. He can get a significant contract from anybody else, for that matter. The only thing that makes me wonder if Kyrie wants to go is that, look, he got everything he wanted when he was traded to Boston. He got situated on a stable team with a great GM, with a coach every player that's played for him wants to play for, and a supporting cast that was good enough to get that team into the NBA Finals. The only thing I could think of is that he got all that and then realized he didn't want all that. I mean, Kyrie's leadership was basically just taking stuff and chucking against the wall and see if it stuck for all of last year. And that didn't work. I mean, he kind of found a rhythm at the end of the season by just basically saying, it's going to be okay. because I'm there, but he sort of vacillated between, you know, making fun of the younger players, calling them out, you know, questioning their desire and everything else, and just sort of doing a paint by numbers with leadership. And maybe he sees all that. And he's like, you know, I want to go play with a Kevin Durant where I can just be a baller. I'm going to go play where in the neighborhood where I grew up at the arena I wanted to play in for years and just be a basketball player. Maybe he doesn't want all the things that come with being a franchise player. That's one reason I would think he would run out of Boston.
All right, best case scenario for Boston tonight, Sacramento 2-3-4, and Memphis stay in the top eight so they can take it. And you have two great assets in the offseason here to try to get Anthony Davis. Now, you brought up the worst case scenario with Zion Williamson being at number one and the Knicks picking up that number one. And I would agree, if you can trade him for Anthony Davis and you've got Durant and Kyrie, it's pretty hard to beat the Knicks. But do you trust Durant and Kyrie and not an awful lot else? Maybe they can trade Kevin Knox and to get a veteran or something like that. With James Dolan running that organization, I like their coach Fizdale, but you tell me, an owner, there's a reason the Knicks haven't won since the 70s, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be putting a lot of blind faith in a group of people and an owner that has been nothing but bad at their jobs.
He throws fans out of the place.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would say that if you get Durant, Kyrie, and AD, like, I don't want to say it's idiot-proof, but, like, even if you only have a skeleton supporting cast around them, like, you're still going to be dangerous to win the whole thing. So, like, that's the thing. Like, if you're the Celtics, you're a Celtics fan, and you see the Knicks at fourth or fifth, you will feel overwhelmingly better about your chances of retaining Kyrie Irving, because you're not going to – you can outbid the Knicks for Anthony Davis if you're Boston beyond that number one or even the number two overall pick. You just got to be wary of them getting number one. And if you're Kyrie Irving, you and Durant and, like, the fourth pick, that doesn't win much. I don't even know. I mean, that gets you, like, in the playoffs in the Eastern Conference, but I don't think that pushes you past any of the top-tier teams in the East just with that crew.
I know you're busy today. We thank you for stopping by for a few minutes.
Thanks, Chris.
Have fun tonight in Chicago.
Anytime, guys.
See you later. Chris Mannix of Sports Illustrated right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.